The phone lines are open at 221-1402. On News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. So this is Carl Bott, and welcome to the show here on a beautiful Wednesday morning. There's no rain, there's no snow out there, it's just cold enough to freeze. Well, you know what. Hey, want to introduce the crew here, our producer, Kelly Frost Jr.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. You had a great experience yesterday, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I actually lost my wallet, and somebody decided and was really nice and brought it back to the store and didn't take any money or anything.
Wow.
That's really cool. You know what? Reading is a great place.
I was pretty stoked about it because I thought for sure that it was gone.
Did you? You know what? And when things like that, you know, these, you know, it's just an act of kindness by a stranger who is, you know, it was like you. I mean, if you found it, you would have picked it up and done
the
same thing. You know, not everybody out there is an ass. You know? And of course.
Thanks for the segue.
Segueing into my,
thank
to
you,
my
so flattered.
Beautiful partner. Sorry, Irene, but she is. This is my my partner in crime and life here is Linda Bott.
Well, I'm not sure what I am right now, but I'm proud. I'll tell you, though, really for our listeners, we want to say thank you and congratulations to the Submariners that – and it's been in the news the last couple of days, but we wanted to congratulate you for the wonderful monument that went up at Igoe Cemetery. And, you know, our show – really started with the premise of really having a voice for the veterans.
Well, you know, this memorial that was put up at Igoe was it was honoring U.S. Submariners on their eternal patrol, and it was put into place last Friday. And what it is, it's a concrete marble memorial that was put out there. I don't know if a lot of you know it, but the men that were in the submarine service during World War II had the highest percentage of personnel lost, losing more than 3,500 men and 52 submarines that did not return. And this has been in the news, but you know what? We didn't get a chance to talk about it. We just wanted to, you know, for our people in the North State to know that that this was a very deserving memorial. And Linda's right. You know, when we started Free Fire Saturday, and now we're here in Free Fire Radio, was, and we're a very veteran-friendly and a very warrior-friendly station here. You know, we want the people to honor our veterans, and our people in the North State do. It's so wonderful. You know, again, you know, as we've said so many times, we don't care what you think about the war, but you got to love the warrior. You know, he's and she is the one that's standing on that wall.
And what's a cuttlefish?
Yeah, the USS Cuttlefish. A cuttlefish is the name of the submariners group that all these people belong to, but it also is another name for octopus. It was known as, you know, cuttlefish also is another name for octopus. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break here.
So smart.
Well, you know, I'm old. I read. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. This is Carl Bott of Free Fire Radio. When we get back, we have got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk rate hikes. We're going to talk to REU. We're going to talk about where the cuts are in the budget. So join us on the other side. And that phone number is 221-1402. Get hot. Hey, this is Carl Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. The reason I'm laughing is I apologize.
Major
that segue of using the word ass and then right to my soulmate was not a good idea, and it's a darn good thing there's no camera here, or our listeners would have seen you inserting your knee into my groin. It was, hey, I'm sorry, honey.
I don't do things like that. But that was the thing. Thank you for the clarification. And while we were at break, there was a caller. Well, this is what we love about the show. A caller called and left a message for our beautiful, with our beautiful and wonderful gal at the front desk, Carrie, and said, I got to go to work. I'm really in a hurry, but I want to talk about Court Street. Stop rolling your eyes and go and move along. You do that to me, and it bugs me. But I love you.
What the caller said was, hey, we need to stop the parking on Court Street. We've already had two serious accidents there. and with one person being killed and a five-year-old boy getting his leg broken. He said that he's almost hit people there, too. Now, that's something we'll talk about in the future here. But there's a number of things that we want to talk about today that are real important, and it's affecting everybody in our city. And one is the fact that the city council okayed that 7.84% Reading utility rate hike. And I was there last night during the city council meeting, and it was quite interesting. There were people there that after the director, Hauser, gave his presentation, which, by the way, was a very good presentation. And Mr. Hauser is going to be here tomorrow to talk to our listeners about the rate hike. So if you've got any questions for Paul, make sure that you get ready. Write them down. You can either call and ask them, or you can send them to us via the website at Free Fire Radio, or give us a call on our office line at 530-241-2682. If you have questions and you can't get through, or you want to call, or you can't call at that time, so just send us the questions. We'll ask him. But he's going to be on tomorrow to talk about this rate hike. But one of the things that with this rate hike is that how it's going to hurt people. People came up and said, you know, you raised it 7.84 this year and 7.84 next year. I can pay my rent, but I'm not going to be able to pay for my meds. I've got to make that decision. Well, what the city council pointed out by members at various times was there are programs out there. If you come to the office there at City Hall and you fill out the paperwork, that you can have your electrical rates lowered by 25%. Unfortunately, there's many people that they're off $3 or $4 on this, and they can't meet the guidelines for it. So there's a number of things that happened last night during this meeting. And again, the director of the REU, Reading Utilities, will be on our show tomorrow to be able to talk about this. Now, a couple of the things also. When we talked about the cuts Monday, we had numerous calls about the cuts in the budget Monday with 14 people laid off. It came out and they cleared up how they're going to do it. And they talked about the number of firefighters. And they talked about the firefighters out in, I believe it's Station 8, is going to have 3 firefighters laid off, which brings them back to 2. Now, they had in 2007, that's what they had the additional firefighters brought on. Anyway, it's going to go back. They're going to do away with the river-based firefighting. They won't have a boat there. The Shasta County Sheriff's Office is going to have to pick that up. But the cut of those 3 firefighters and elimination of the rescue boat is going to save $440,000. Now, a lot of people may say, wait a minute, how much money do they cut back from Turtle Bay? Well, it seems like Turtle Bay was cut off, I think, about $30,000. $34,000 was cut out of Turtle Bay. 10% vice to 30% that the city manager wanted to do. And you know that's going to be, a lot of people are going to be asking about that one. Let's go to the phones. Tom, good morning.
Oh, good morning. How you doing there? Beautiful day, kind of crisp out, though, isn't it?
Very crisp.
This thing with this rate increase couldn't come at a worse time. 7.8% in today's economy is horrible. So is it because of the drought and they're not having as much hydropower because the price of oil is dropping, the price of natural gas is dropping? So what's the justification for that high of an increase, or is that a question we're going to have answered when this person Moretti Utilities comes on the air?
Well, Tom, I tell you what, I can address it from what I heard last night. Now, the thing about the part of it is the hydro is that the contract expired, and that contract gave us like 600 gigawatt hours. 600 gigawatt hours. Now we've been reduced to 240 gigawatt hours under that type of plan, which is the cheap energy. Now, because of the way the Lake Shasta has dropped so dramatically in the last 2 years in this drought, that also is costing us. The natural gas, everybody says the price of natural gas has dropped. That's true, but according to the presentation last night, we had a long-term contract at very low rates. Now, our rates have gone up from $4 to $6 for the equivalent, but that's still below what other people are paying, but it's still a lot higher than what we were.
Well, you'll tell you one of the problems. I never like it when they start complaining, oh, well, you could be paying what this guy, what the other people over, like PG&E, because they also have a tiered rate system where if you, you know, you have one rate for no matter how much you use in Redding.
Yeah.
But and then PG&E has a tiered rate, and boy, you start, you know, like Bernie, using twice as much as your baseline, and well, they sock it to you. But you know, they try to say, oh, well, you could be as bad off as them. That's like saying, well, gasoline's $8 a gallon in Redding, so what? I mean, in
Europe.
Europe. So what are you bellyaching about $4.50 a gallon?
Yeah. Well, we're gonna
give them a little time now that the prices come down. They'll probably put a $2 tax on it to solve the California budget crisis. Get us used to paying $4 a gallon again, and then when it goes, next time oil goes up, we'll be paying $7 a gallon.
Well, it's interesting you say that, Tom, because that's something we're going to talk about later on about this.
Okay,
is
well,
about
let me,
that.
I know I take a lot of time, but I don't call very often. But let me tell you something. I believe with what we're heading into in our economy that we're going to see an overall CPI drop next year for probably the first time since they've been making the statistics. Because we are seeing so much slack in the economy, and people are going to find it harder to pay $1.50 for gas when they don't have the money at all because they don't have a job and paying a light bill that's going up than they did on the $4 gas when at least they had a job. And so this is coming at an absolute worst time. And
yeah.
I have rentals in Redding, and people are caught almost at the point now, do I pay rent or do I pay my utility bill? Well, I got to have the rent to pay the payments and live too, but if they don't pay the utilities, the code enforcer says you got to be out of here. I mean, you see the compounding mess that's
yes,
created?
Yes, Tom, I do. And Tom, I'm up against a hard break. I've got to take a break here, and we're going to talk about what you just brought up too about utilities or rent. Hey, thanks for the phone call.
Welcome back. You're listening to Carla and Linda Bott on KQMS News Talk 1400. 221-1402 are the lines. We were recently talking about the rate hikes, and you went last night. You were talking about how there were people there that were talking about whether their meds, it was either their meds or their utilities. And we have a couple tips for those who have poorly insulated houses. One is to dress warmly and stay inside, of course. Two, don't sit alone. If possible, stay around friends or family in case something happens. And if you don't have a place to go, head to the Good News Rescue Mission. It's open to everyone and has made space available for walk-ins during the storm. And keep infants well-dressed and make sure they're bundled up for beds, perhaps with some type of cap to cover their heads. And number five, check in regularly with elderly relatives if they live alone or invite them to stay with you a while. While it's cold outside. Now, there's some winter tips that are on the front of the local page today in the Redding Searchlight. We'll go over a few of those later, but those are just a little, you know, reminder.
Well, anything we can do to help people out there. Russell, good morning.
Morning, Carl.
How you doing?
I wanted to talk a little bit about that city council meeting.
Were you there last night?
What disappoints me is the fact they're sitting up here and the entire thing of what their job actually is gotten lost. Their job is to sit up there and represent the will of the people. I don't think the will of the people told them we want a rate increase on our electricity.
I think you're probably right.
You know, the last thing people want are increases in taxes, increases in utilities. You know, and it's sad that somebody has to make a decision between having their heat and having their medication. You know, people should not be put in that situation.
Well, you know, even worse is that if you pay your rent but your utilities are turned off, then you can be evicted.
That's right.
I didn't realize that till last night. Even though you've got your rent paid, you can still be evicted if your utilities are turned off. So, I mean, what do you do? Some of these people are really caught between a rock and a hard spot.
Absolutely. And my question is, they're talking about all these budget shortfalls. Did anybody up there on the city council talk about giving themselves pay cuts?
Well, you know what they did is they did, I don't know about pay cuts, but what they did is they forgo all the raises next year, all the cost of living, everything was cut out.
So, well, I know the city manager should could take a pay cut with what he makes. They could save a whole lot of money.
Well, that's one way of doing it. You know, we're in the midst of, you know, when a lot of these CEOs, these companies, we're going to take pay cuts, lose a golden parachutes for not doing a good job. You know, who do we hold our city council responsible for bad decisions? Is it the city manager? Who do we hold responsible for this?
Well, you know, that's a good question on the local level of government.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not mistaken, doesn't the city council make the decision on who the city manager is?
I think so. And I think also is that, you know, we just had an election. And we changed, I think, one person in there. I think the you know, with Missy MacArthur, and Missy voted 3-2 was the third person on the cuts there.
Right, and I think the city of Redding's about to find out that they made a bad choice by putting her in that spot. You know, a lot of people talked about, you know, Ken Murray and some of the stuff that he's done, you know, in his personal life. But I honestly believe, you know, that Ken Murray was doing a lot of good to try to help the city of Redding, because I believe he actually had the people's goodwill on his mind.
Ken had, you know, he said once that when he bleeds Redding. And I believe that. You know, you can't always agree with everything he did, but I never thought his heart wasn't in the right spot. And Russell, we're up on a hard break here, so thanks a lot for calling.
Thanks, Carl.
You bet. Hey, this is Carl Lindabad here on Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. Give us a call and tell us what you think about rate hikes and the personnel cuts. ABC News. Hey, this is Carl Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. Hey, you know, when we if you take a look at the cuts here in the budget, that $1 million of this $3 million was taken out of the first responders. They were taken out of the fire and the police. Now, the police had six positions eliminated or not filled, either through retiree or people retiring. They're retired or expected to retire, so they're not going to fill those up. They're not going to do anything with the after-school programs at the Cypress School. And Juniper Academy was suspended, along with the juvenile drug court, and patrols of parks in Sacramento River Trail and homeless camps. Now, one of the things that I was talking to a policeman yesterday, RPD, and it's not so much that they're arresting people down there. It's the fact is that their presence keeps things from happening, and they expect to see a rise in the crime rate. So, you know, here's something we're cutting back. I mean, a lot of people use those trails down there, and there's a lot of people along those trails, maybe not so good people. That kind of concerns me a little bit. So, you know, people that are going out there might want to make sure as they're going out there in pairs, at least. So they're cutting $1 million out of the budget with the firefighters and the police services. Again, where are the priorities here? I am not on the city council. You know, I didn't see all this. Were the cuts that had to be made? Yes. Did they have to be made right now? Did it need to have maybe a couple more meetings with people? And saying things like, you know, other ways to raise funds. Is there other ways to do this besides all these cuts? You know, that's something that we need to ask and to research and to look at the city council. Now, this was a huge meeting last night with this utility raises going on. And yet there were probably only maybe 60 people in there in the city council chambers. Not counting all the city council people and the people that work for the city. Stacy, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, it's glad
I
to
think
do
we
it.
Should have a new sign out there in the front of I-5, north and south, as people are coming into Reading, and say, "Y'all come." Now, I'm not referring to everybody. I'm referring to the front page of news today, whereby we are not going to be patrolling the parks and the homeless camps, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to be creating more problems for our city, more expense, by not keeping those areas clean and patrolled, because those people will be hauled in, put through our court system, et cetera, for creating crimes or starting fires.
And then we can take our already overcrowded jails and then load them up with some more people up there. I tell you what, I'm not sure. You know, it's easy to be the armchair quarterback in this. You know, you sit back and you poke holes in what people do. But I also think is that when it's been discussed, it's just like you, Stacey. I mean, where do we make our cuts first?
Yes.
You know, what what is the most important thing? You know, as somebody said yesterday, hey, what happens that time somebody does not respond? And that could have, you know, is there going to be a lawsuit then?
Mm-hmm, yes.
There was a lady that was at the city council meeting last night that talked, and she was, she talked about the cutback in police in the Parkview area, that already they're having problems out there, Parkview, and I think it was Garden View, that there's they're already having problems out there, and they just eliminated the patrols out there, from what I understand. I don't know, Stacey.
This is a very significant dilemma that needs to be addressed.
It does, and I tell you what, we as the citizens of Reading need to see what's going on there and remember this the next time an election is, that we cannot do business as usual. It's
yes.
time for some changes if the changes are needed.
Go for it.
Thank you very much for your phone call.
You're welcome.
Jim, good morning.
Good morning. Isn't it interesting in all that's going on that we can afford as a city to have two airports, one of which they've already talked about closing down, but we never can seem to make the move. And here they are getting ready to spend more money on it and extend it into the landfill, which that means breaking that membrane. And, you know, we're not looking at putting a solar array up there on that landfill or tapping the methane gas that comes out of it for power generation. And we're not looking at the sewer ponds down here, capping those and capturing the methane gas to generate electricity. Somebody obviously has the ear of the city and has their own private airport. Perhaps we should sell that to a private investor. And if no one's willing to buy that airport as a private investor, then that ought to send a signal to somebody.
Well, you know, that is interesting to have two airports in our city here, and that one's right above us. They're not far from us. And,
Benton. We're talking about Benton Air Park.
Yes.
Benton Air Park there. You know, that is an interesting part. You know, point is, how much money do we spend on that air park?
That's right. And you know, it's worth about $70 million. That could be developed into a nice commercial entity. It could provide tax revenue. It would cut down crosstown traffic. It would cut down gas consumption. Its time has come to relocate that, consolidate it with Muni.
Well, you know, Jim, that's really great. I mean, I never heard anything like this being brought up anywhere. From
well, Ken Murray brought
not.
It up quite some time ago. And of course, he was told basically to forget it for political reasons. And then Dickerson, when he was running for Ken, I called in and he said, oh, yes, that's going to be shut down eventually. But here the city is planning to extend the runway into the landfill.
How interesting. So it's something that has been brought up and it's just been ignored.
Yes, it's, you know, there's some high rollers that have their airplanes parked up there. It's their private little airport. Supports they have 200 and some aircraft up there with gas prices. They're not flying as much as they used to.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you can't blame the pilots. Austin Wiswell came up here, I think, in 2001 when Mary Siegel and the others voted to build the homes in the crash zone down there and told them, you know, don't do this. And they ignored him.
Yeah. Hey, Jim, this is a great phone call. You know, this is something we've got written down, too, so take a look at this here in the next few days. And it's something probably to ask our city council members because, as I said, you know, we've got Mr. Hooser coming in tomorrow, but we've got Patrick Jones on Friday. But we've got the city manager, Kurt Tarpin, coming in on next Wednesday, the 24th. So these are some good questions that we're writing down to say, hey, how come we're still supporting the Benton Airport?
Yep, and another possibility would be, you know, right across from City Hall, there's a three-story building sitting there vacant.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, maybe we should move some people from City Hall over there and let the police department and the fire department take over City Hall as it exists and maybe, you know, fill in whatever's left over. And we wouldn't be spending $36 million. We might spend $10 million to make that transition.
Well, that's another idea.
Possibility thinking.
Hey, Jim, thanks a lot for your phone call.
You bet. Bye.
You bet.
Sounds like he's got a plan.
Yeah, well, you know what? There's a lot of things going on here that could be done. You know, the air park, it's been brought up before. People seem to ignore it. Why do we have to? Why do we have two air facilities in a city of the size of Reading? I mean, Reading's 90,000 people, and we've got a nice air facility out there. And why the other one right there in the middle of town?
You know, we've been talking about heating and utility rates increasing and all of that. We just got word that there were three girls that that died over carbon monoxide poisoning, and also in the winter tips this morning. This is very important. It's dangerously precisely because it's odorless and colorless, and just about anything that burns emits it. So never use a gas range or oven to heat your home, apartment, or trailer. Never use a charcoal grill, hibachi, or portable camping stove as a heat source inside your home, apartment, or trailer. Don't run a vehicle or gas-powered generator in a closed garage, basement, or outside near an open window, door, or vent. If you suspect someone might have carbon monoxide poisoning, call 911 immediately. And finally, keep vents and chimney flues free of debris. We know it's cold outside. It's 33 degrees, current temperature, and it's 8:40 this morning. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott on News Talk 1400 KQMS Free Fire Radio. We'll see you on the other side.
I'll be so blue.
Hey, this is Carl Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Kay, good morning.
Hi, Carl and Linda.
Good morning.
I'm upset about the police and the firemen being reduced, but I also think it's kind of unwise not to have insurance on the Sundial Bridge.
Yeah, I saw that too. That if when they just kind of did away with that, what happens if there's a
it would only take one small little thing to overcome that savings.
Yeah, I mean, would it be if a boat went down there, let's just say somehow, and it, you know, damaged the superstructure somehow, or an earthquake cracked it just a little bit, how much would it cost to fix that?
Or if somebody fell on it, some kid was riding a skateboard and fell off.
Well.
You know.
Well, was it all the insurance on it, including liability?
I don't know. It just says...
Well, that's something though to check. If it means I imagine it would be covered under the city's liability. I think this would be something like if something happened to it, then the construction to fix it would not be covered. And that
the city
could be
will
very
eliminate
expensive.
Insurance for the Sundial Bridge.
Yeah, but I think that the
that's if is that only if
I think
if
it has to do with construction
like
cost. Yeah.
Lightning hit it and it disintegrated or something?
I don't know if it'll disintegrate, but I wouldn't think it was liability. But you know what? We're going to have city councilman on, and we're going to have the city manager on. And those are great questions.
Okay.
When you do away with insurance, did you mean any type of insurance or was it just the construction type? I think it was just tied to rebuild parts of it. But, you know, that's a good question.
We need to make sure that there's the liability is still there.
Oh,
you know, I
absolutely.
Mean, this is California after all.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I can't, I don't even like, you know, walking outside the studio without insurance all over me. Anyway, hey, Kay, thanks for the phone call.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye.
Bye. Hey, you know, there's a lot of good questions out there. I mean, there's a lot of things going on with rate hikes, with the city council. I mean, these are some tough times. You know, hey, Missy gets elected and she walks into a firestorm. So, you know, it's one of those things, be careful what you ask for, you may get it. You know, we talk about rants, and I'm going to change the subject just a little bit here. First of all, is that we have Friday is the very first Angry Citizen Minute. And this is for people that just really are angry about what's going on, and they want to have their 2 minutes of uninterrupted airtime. And the way you get that is you come to freefireradio.com, our website, or you call us at 530-241-2682, and you tell us what your rant is. Tell us what it is, and we pick the best one. Make sure you leave a way for us to get in touch with you. And then we'll get back with you. Then at 8:15 on Friday morning, the microphone is yours. You call in, and we just kind of turn you loose. Up to a point, of course. No profanity. No personal attacks on local people. You can make them on national people. I don't care. We don't know them. Anything like that.
Just keep it clean.
Yeah, just keep it clean. We do have the dump button here, and Kelly's finger has got a callus on it already from me, so he's ready to go with it. Now, the other thing, too, is if you remember at Thanksgiving, the mission needed turkeys. And on our listeners, after we put the word out, went out and got 150 turkeys. for the mission. Well, Salvation Army gave us a call, sent us an email. They are in need also of 150 turkeys for Christmas dinner for all these people that need some help right now, North State. They need 150 turkeys, and they need the fixings to go with it. Now, I know times are tight. I know times, you know, if all we've been talking about is budget cuts and rate increases. Well, it's not going to get all of us that way. So here's your chance, North State. You go out, you get those turkeys, you get the fixings that go along with them, you get to the Salvation Army, and then you can provide a wonderful Christmas dinner for those who really need the help this year. Because things are tight. They're making choices between electricity and meds. And if, you know, if they're making choices for that, then a little bit of help down at the Salvation Army is going to come in real handy. Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Join us on the other side. This is Carl Bott, and welcome back to News Talk 1400 KQMS and Free Fire Radio. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. I know it's not Friday, and I was holding back here. I thought I was going to do the vacuum cleaner, but when we got this thing going on about cutting back on everything except that Turtle Bay, this is where you get, you light me up here, and it goes like this.
Good.
Oh, Michael Warren, everybody's afraid to touch that man, you know. You know, Michael Warren, the old previous city manager, he created most of those people down there in the city hall. They won't go against him for nothing. Now, you talk about cutting 30 grand. Is that what you told me, Carl?
34,000. 34,000.
30 grand, huh?
34.
34 grand. And he gets $90,000 to work part-time down there. That's a gamble, Carl. We know that the city gives them X amount of dollars, and they say they get $150,000 back if their operation goes good, Turtle Bay operation.
That's what I understand.
You're cutting safety back on the people, on the trails. And the rest of the stuff, I'm Michael Warren. I'm going to close with this. Michael Warren could charm a snake over the telephone, and I'll talk to you guys later.
Hey, thanks. Okay.
You have a rant. You have a rant.
I wonder how he really feels about it. Okay, now I've got a question here. You know, I believe in the law of unintended consequences. In other words, something that you want to do, and it seems like really a good idea at the time, but 2 or 3 or 4 years down the line, it's not a good idea. And I can give you all types of examples. Many times our politicians will do something because it seems like a good idea at the time, but they don't think about ramifications. And this one, and somebody sent me this. This is people that send me so much stuff here to freefireradio.com. But this one is dated December 4th and says, DOD proposes new guidelines for domestic use of the military. And I've got a real problem with this. I'm going to put this on our website so that you can read it too, and I'm going to do some more research on it. But what it says essentially is that the DOD guidelines would be invoked by a request for assistance from a civilian agency or when the president or defense secretary determines military aid is needed to deal with a crisis on U.S. soil. Now, what's that mean? Does that mean that if there's, I think what they were talking about, if it was like a Katrina or a massive earthquake, they could have our military walk in there and essentially do martial law. But it used to be is that to do that, it had to go through a whole bunch of, you know, of leaps and hurdles to do these kind of things. Because we have, you know, as the Marines went up to Los Angeles during those riots and helped establish order. But you had to go through a number of things. With something like this, with one person, like just say the governor of California says, hey, I need this help, and his crony says, okay. And, you know, he could activate the not only just the National Guard, but the federal troops to come in and do something. And what's the crisis? What exactly is the crisis? It could be, you know, right now, this is what we're thinking. Oh, it's got to be a natural disaster or something. But what about 5 or 6 years down the road when Kelly Frost Jr. is giving a speech in the park where Turtle Bay used to be, and, you know, it's told that he's threatening the government? You know, people know me, know I love this country. I've given my life to preserve this country's rights. But when I see something like this, I got to take a good look at it.
But do you think this was established because of Katrina and because it took so long for the order of things to happen in an order of crises?
Well, you know, that depends. That's what it was for. But, and then again, I'm reading stuff that has, that's come from me, from other people, but I've seen it now in two or three different places. And now I'm going to go back and we're going to research this some more. But this proposal is kind of scary to me in the sense, again, of the law of unintended consequences, something that seems like a good idea. You know, the Environmental Protection Act, Species Act. You know, they were thinking about these cute little otters out there they want to protect, and you end up protecting sinkholes on farmers' lands, and they can't even plow it because they've got a sinkhole there that somehow is in danger. I mean, I'm not quite sure how that works, or it's a great piece of grass, or gosh, the story I heard about the Tennessee snail darter was just hysterical in the sense that they, you know, they built it, they bought all this land, the government did, built a dam, built a four-lane highway to it. They found the snail darter and said, I'm sorry, you can't use this because this is an endangered species. Well, so what they end up doing is tearing the dam down, and then they find out that the snail darter is located in like 100 other areas. So, see, this is just something, again, that, you know, the government and the, you know, starts doing these things, I start worrying about it. We're going to talk more about this here in the future.
And as we get
find
on the,
out more.
And as we get on the ground and we're running here, we want to hear from you at freefireradio.com. Share with us what you want to hear about, what you want to talk about. Send us your emails and interact with us. We're always an open line radio show here, 221-1402.
Yeah, and remember, our, you know, we're lining guests up here to talk about the situation here in our town, and our city council, you know, the city manager. I mean, and these are good people that are going to come out here and talk to us. And again, tomorrow, the director of the REU, Paul Hauser, is going to be out here. I mean, he's going to be a person you can ask questions to. You know, he's going to be here probably starting right at 8 o'clock. Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott in Free Fire Radio. And remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?